just going to award Late Night to James Corden right off the top here. Corden, always weird when a violent insurrection has a director's cut. Corden, again, a lot of Republicans saw the new footage and were like, wow, this is really horrifying. I'm not going to change my vote, but yikes. Trevor Noah, Trump's lawyers never address key issues. They went off on meandering tangents. One guy cried while reading a poem. It was going so badly for the Republicans, I thought Ted Cruz was going to start another insurrection just to change the subject. That's pretty good, too. Fallon, Trump's lawyer was so bad, Trump actually flashed the Rudy signal over Mar-a-Lago. Fallon, Republicans are like, wow, that defense was terrible. He couldn't have made a worse case. Anyway, not guilty. Seth, I left a voicemail on ecstasy in 1997 that made more sense. Kimmel, Trump was not happy with how it went. They say the last time he was that mad was when he found out there was a Donald Trump Jr. Fallon, on one hand, Trump was furious. On the other hand, screaming at the TV all day made him feel like he was president again. James Corden, I mean, first Giuliani, now these guys. Trump is really bad at picking an effective lawyer, which I chalk up as great news for Melania. James Corden, you win the night. Last week, Tonight with John Oliver is back for season 8 on Sunday. Oliver said, I would recommend it for a last date. I don't think there's a cleaner way out of a relationship than saying, let's sit down and enjoy the romantic stylings of Last Week Tonight. Oliver told Colbert that if you don't like Last Week Tonight, he said, if you really hated it, honestly, I wouldn't give it a second chance. Oliver's talked about this before. He is the same age as John Cena, saying, we were born on the exact same day, the exact same year, two babies in different countries who very much biologically chose to go in different directions. I think of John Cena every birthday now, specifically thinking, I'm not just one step closer to death, I'm about 20 steps closer to death than he is. Fox News wants to get in on Late Night, and hey, I host Daily Comedy News, and I like doing jokes at the top, so bring it, Fox News Channel. They're going to fill the 11 p.m. weeknight hour with a, quote, irreverent, unquote, late night show from host Greg Gutfeld. Gutfeld, a former magazine editor whose shoot-from-the-hip demeanor has prompted Fox to test him in unorthodox formats, like a program called Red Eye that aired in the wee hours of the morning, or a Saturday evening program Fox has tried to promote as a competitor to Late Night Fare hosted by Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel. This from Variety. A suit at Fox said, people need a reason to laugh. Greg's unique and irreverent talk show has been an incredible success, often beating the late night broadcast competition despite its Saturday time slots. With one of the most loyal and engaged audiences in cable news, we're thrilled to bring the show to weekday primetime and further solidify Greg's place among late night television stars. You run a network and you said you want to bring him to weekday primetime. 11 p.m. Eastern is not primetime. I'll leave that thought there. Variety spoke to Kenan Thompson and Lorne Michaels. Lorne Michaels says, there's nothing Kenan can't do. He's one of the greatest of all time. Kenan may be a genius. They're out promoting the new TV show, Kenan, which debuts February 16th. Let's count on our fingers here. Tuesday. Thompson is a local TV morning host in Atlanta as the widowed father of two young girls. We'll talk about this on the weekend. Lorne talked about Kenan's initial audition. Lorne Michaels said, he had all the skills we needed right away, but he also found a way to shine almost immediately, and then he was essential. He became the person everybody would like to have in their sketch, and the audience feels always that with him, they're in good hands. Thompson knows as the longest player in SNL history, the pressure's on to make his next move the right one. He says, it started to get close to me being at SNL for like a long time, in everybody's opinion. Not just fans noticing, but myself being like, is there an end date to it? And if there is, I should prepare a bridge for that day. Because that was the thing Lorne always told me from early on. Don't leave the show until you got a firm hold on that next branch. He has no plans to leave the show, saying, I have a certain number I'd like to get to. I think 20 is a good round even number that I'm close to. I feel like it's in reach, but also it would be respected if I don't get there. Like 18 is fine, 19 is fine. Doesn't really matter. What matters is, will I have time for my family? There's only 24 hours in a day. Lorne said, the industry finally came around to my way of thinking, which is, why does a series have to be 24 episodes, and why do you have to leave SNL for it? So Kenan's going to timeshare between SNL and the sitcom. Lorne also is not going anywhere, saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to hit the 50-year mark soon, so it's good. From Deadline, HBO Max is doubling down on adult animation, ordering three series. Series 1, they gave a two-season order to Clone High, the reboot of the classic MTV series. They ordered Scooby-Doo spinoff Velma with Mindy Kaling set as lead voice star. This is animation. It's too bad that's not live action. I'd love to see that. So Velma, starring Mindy Kaling. And they gave a show to Pete Davidson called Fired on Mars. The series is described as an existential workplace comedy set on the Martian campus of a modern tech company. Pete is the lead voice and executive producer. From People, Elton John and Michael Caine star in hilarious comedy video promoting uptake of COVID vaccines. What's this? Sir Elton John is in a new tongue-in-cheek video for Britain's National Health Service promoting uptake of the coronavirus vaccines in the UK. It sees Elton auditioning to be a patient in front of a distinctly less than impressed director who treats Sir Elton like a total novice. Elton says, "My name is Elton John." And the director jumps in and says, "Cut there, a little less showbiz, Elton." With Elton floundering, the director requests the exact opposite, then forlornly asks, "Let's go for your Michael Caine impression. Let's just see what it's like." Elton John then does a Michael Caine impression. Director says, "Beautiful, cut there." Elton gets a pretend shot, and he says, "Ouch." And the director says, "What was that, Elton?" Elton says, "That was me acting. And as you can see, I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah." The director says, "Wow, okay, thanks, Elton. We'll let you know." Elton says, "All right, at this short notice, you won't find anyone bigger." Then the camera cuts to Michael Caine sitting with a nurse and his own left sleeve rolled up high. Caine says, "Hello, my name is Michael Caine. I've just had a vaccine for COVID. It didn't hurt. Not many people know that." Director says, "Cut that. Marvelous. Thank you so much, Sir Michael. Okay, let the little fella know he didn't get the job." So if you had voted for this week's comedy top dog battle, Jim Gaffigan versus Bill Burr, I said I would shout you out on the show. So hi, Catahoua Dog, or Catahoua underscore dog, who says, "I want to go with Gaffigan because he broke with his wholesome persona in 2020 and spoke out, but gotta go with Burr. Chalk up a vote for Bill Burr." I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Jay Arnaud said, "Tough call, but gotta go Burr. Yell at me if I said your name wrong. Happy to shout yet again." Jerry McLean said, "Bill Burr for sure." So that's three more votes for Bill Burr. Come back on Monday. I will tell you who the comedy top dog is. And the champion will advance and face someone new. If you've been playing along, you could probably guess who won the week. Check out the Instagram page, Daily Comedy News, if you want to know. Ted Alexandro called into the Stryker and Klein radio show, said he's still awaiting both $1 million and or Lorne Michaels' pinky. That will suffice. You may recall I told you earlier in the week, Ted Alexandro thinks SNL stole a joke from him. I'm leaning towards Ted Alexandro on this one. Ted says, "As of now, no activity from the Venmo from that group. Strangely, a lot of people have been Venmoing me money to show support, which is kind of funny. It's over $300 that come in, like Bernie Sanders. It's all small donations, $27 or less. It's really nice that people have been responding, but not SNL as of yet." The Zalo bit, I did it in 2019, and then I put it in my special in 2020. The specific thing that makes it curious to me, a lot of people say, it's parallel thinking or people have similar ideas. I work at the Comedy Cellar. That's my home club in New York, and that's where a lot of SNL writers work, and they take other people's material. They have a history of suddenly ideas other people have come up with show up on SNL because it's such a behemoth, you don't really have any recourse except to take to social media and demand $1 million. The fact that comedians have backed me shows that the community kind of knows what's up, and a lot of people have been kind of victimized in similar ways, and a lot of people have stayed quiet about it. So to me, it was like, I'm not going to sit back while, especially something to put on my special, which, by the way, people can watch my special cut up on YouTube for free, but it's been there, like I said, since last year. From EW, Kevin James is making the round. He's hawking his new NASCAR show that's going to be on Netflix. And Kevin said, "To be honest, I was a fan, but I didn't know too much about it." That means he wasn't a fan at all. Kevin James grew up in Stony Brook, Long Island in the 1970s. He's not a NASCAR fan. He might watch it. Like, I watch it. I've been to Daytona. I'll tell you some stories sometime. It's cool, but I can't claim to be a NASCAR fan. Kevin said, "Well, to be honest, I was a fan, asterisk, but I didn't know too much about it. I didn't know enough. What was interesting to me was that it was different. It's different for me, and it's a workplace comedy. The format's the same anywhere. In the office, they sell paper supplies, and this just happens to be NASCAR. It's about relationships. Here, it happens to be highly competitive, and there's life and death on the line. It's just nuts. There are endless avenues to go with this place, but it's also a funny, funny place to perform. And the fact that NASCAR was in on it and they wanted to help us out, it made the difference completely. They just got excited to do it, and it was the right story, and being in business with Netflix, they felt protected in a good way. It's just a funny show, whether it's NASCAR or not, it's funny. I'll watch this thing." EW was like, "You've only done family comedies before. What do you like about the workplace setting?" Kevin said, "It opens up a lot for me creatively. We can go anywhere with this show with NASCAR, whether it's starting up a truck team or going against different teams or losing a driver on our team. There are so many aspects that are new to me that I love. It doesn't feel claustrophobic. It's a workplace comedy, but the world is also as big as you want it to be when you go outside, and we do that too. That's another thing that's awesome about Netflix, is they let you go outside and shoot. So it's kind of like a hybrid of a traditional four-camera sitcom, and you're also outside doing stuff like a movie. Since it's Daytona weekend, I'll talk a little NASCAR. EW said some well-known NASCAR drivers make cameos in the show, including Ryan Blaney and Austin Dillon. Ryan Blaney's kind of your character's nemesis. How'd you come up with that? Kevin said, I don't think it was me. I think it was probably our creator. Once I met Ryan and knew what his personality was, he's fantastic for it. He's crazy funny, which kind of ticks me off a little because you're good at one thing. I didn't think he'd be able to transition to comedy. This is such a fluff article. I can't even read this. Hey, Kevin James, your past sitcoms have been on broadcast TV, which is more restrictive than Netflix, blah, blah, blah. Kevin said, the goal was just to be funny and have real relationship stuff. That's what's so great about Netflix. They just let you do your thing. Yeah, I get it. They just let you do your thing, man. Ugh, cash the paycheck, Kevin James. Stop. EW, you shot some footage at an actual NASCAR race, right? Kevin said, yeah, we actually had a car wrapped, you know, with our fake steak logo, and it competed, which was amazing. So that's the benefit of having NASCAR helping you out, too. Fake steak is America's hottest new mushroom-based beef substitute. Kevin James, NASCAR show. It's called The Crew. You going to watch it? You're going to watch it. I'll watch it. If it gets a second season, are they going to bring Leah Remini into it? Kevin said, oh, she's got so much going on right now. She's doing everything now. She's got that game show with People Magazine. Really? That's a thing? What is that? I always love to work with her. She's always the best. I'm always open to anything with her. I got a lot for you today. Kevin Hart reportedly fell victim to a $1 million scam. According to TMZ, the comedian's personal shopper is accused of defrauding Hart of $1.2 million between October 2017 and February 2019. The accusation is that the personal shopper used the stolen funds to buy extravagant items, including everything from a Sam Friedman painting, which I guess is something fancy, and multiple Louis Vuitton bags to 16 Bear Brick collectible pieces and 5 Patek Philippe watches valued at more than $400,000. The accused is scheduled to appear in court on February 17th. That's your daily comedy news for today. You can follow the show on Spotify. I'm closing in on 1,000 followers on Spotify. Are you going to be number 1,000? No, because you follow me already because you're awesome. I appreciate that. You can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows. What I got this weekend, Sunday is normal. Tomorrow, I've been sitting on this and I've bounced it like the last 3 weekends. It's a list of the Guardians comedians to watch for 2021. I've bounced that like 3 weekends in a row because there's been so much going on, but I want to get to that while it's still early in 2021. So that's tomorrow. Sunday is normal. Monday's normal, etc. Here 7 days a week. Follow the show on Instagram, Daily Comedy News. And if you like what I do and you want to support the show. Oh, I keep forgetting. All right, good. I finally remembered. So I always talk about buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. So if you want to support the show one time, you can throw me $5. I'll buy an iced coffee. Here's today's. If you want to be a supporter of the show, you can sign up and it'll just kick $5 every month. A couple of people have done that. Really appreciate that. And once I get to 100 people who do that, I will do an entire episode where I say nice things about Adam Sandler and only nice things about Adam Sandler. Is that not incentive to throw me $5? Don't you want to hear me like try and do 10 minutes on Adam Sandler? You do. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. All right, we're heading for the weekend. Hope you have a great weekend. Don't forget, fellas, Valentine's Day. Get her something. You're going to have a bad day Sunday if you don't. I'll see you tomorrow.